When I've had a chance to visit the Holy Land, one of my favorite places to go is up on top of Mount Tabor. It is the mountain where the Transfiguration took place, hence it's also known as the Mount of Transfiguration. And it's a beautiful place because it rises almost as a large hill from a flat plain. And on top, you can see in all directions the beautiful Jezreel Valley, all fertile and green, the farming breadbasket capital of Israel. You get a sight of everything that's around, and you can see clearly. That's, after all, kind of what a mountain symbolizes. You go up so you can get a better vision of what everything is about. I think that's partly why Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mountain. Not so much that they could get a better vision of the terrain, but to get a better vision of Jesus, and ultimately a better vision of what life is really all about. That's really what this second Sunday of Lent is meant to be for us too. Indeed, all of Lent. To focus us on seeing things more clearly. Particularly to see what our life is all about. To sum up, our life is meant to be about heaven. Now, Christianity has often been criticized that somehow we live, you know, in this world as if we don't care about this world. The early days of the church, the Christians got in trouble because they thought if this religion spread, everyone would be living for this next world, this heaven, and would give up on this world. The truth is, as Christians, we kind of live with one foot in both worlds a little bit. St. Paul tells us in our second reading today that our citizenship is in heaven. To understand that, we have to understand what it meant, especially in Jesus' day, to be a citizen. I mean, today, it's similar in the United States. To be a citizen means we have certain rights that non-citizens don't have. The right to vote, the right to be able to participate in our government, to receive the services that we together as citizens invest in our government, and the government helps distribute and administer. Those are rights that citizens have. In the days of the Bible, of Jesus, to be a citizen was even more concrete. Those days, the cities themselves were often walled cities because you literally had bands of brigands that would ride around and would want to invade your city or steal your property. And your protection was that you had this wall around your city to protect you. We think of the famous walls of the city of Jericho or the walls of Jerusalem that you can see to this day rebuilt. To be a citizen meant that you had a right to be in those walls. You could be protected. And that city would be able to provide food. The fields around would produce what you needed. There would be water there. The whole city of Jerusalem is built where it is because there's a spring there. A city, and to be a citizen, meant peace, security, calmness. So when St. Paul tells us that our citizenship is in heaven, what he's telling us is that if we want peace, if we want security, if we want rest, that ultimately we're never going to find it in a permanent kind of way here on earth. While we're on earth, Paul tells us we're not citizens of this earth. We are aliens, strangers. In fact, the very word perish comes from the word parochus or pariah, which means to be outcast, to be not at home. We have to realize that as we go through this life, every time we bump up against those things that make us say, this isn't right. I'm not quite happy. I'm not quite content. I'm not quite as peaceful as I'd want to be. I've got all these worries and anxieties. It's true, we can do something to be at peace, to give that to God, but ultimately we will never experience permanent, lasting peace, happiness, security in this world because we're not citizens here. We're on pilgrimage through this world. The Second Vatican Council beautifully called the church the pilgrim people of God. It's not easy to be a pilgrim. Being a pilgrim means I'm not at my home. Where there is food, I know it's going to be there. Where there's protection. Being a pilgrim means being vulnerable. As we live this life, then, we're meant to do it fixed on our real home, where we are citizens. I know I get so frustrated sometimes when I'm praying and it doesn't seem to be going well. I want to be closer to God and I want to be more holy, but sin gets in the way and I always seem to be coming up short. And just when I think I've kind of got things under control, something falls apart. And any of you parents, you know how that goes. Just when you think maybe I'm starting to get caught up a little bit on the to-do list, it seems like this breaks and the kids need that and there's this, and we just never quite get that moment where we're able to say, now I can rest. I think that's why in our gospel today, when Peter, James, and John are given a little glimpse of what heaven is like, notice Peter's response. Lord, let's stay right here. This is good. We like this. In fact, let's set up camp. Let's put three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. This is what we're looking for. We'll just stay here. That's what happens when we encounter the face of God. We just want to stay there. Good news and bad news. The bad news, unfortunately, is that we can't just stay there. Even when we get those little glimpses in this life, those little transfiguration moments. The good news, though, is that one day we will. And that's really what our life is all about, to be in heaven. We tend to think of heaven as this kind of magical, happy place, almost like a perpetual carnival or circus or something, where there's just entertainment. Heaven has always been described by the saints, the fathers, and our liturgy even, as rest. There, the greatest joy of heaven will be to be what Peter, James, and John experienced, to look at the face of God and to have him look at us and to know at that moment that we're home. No more worries about protection, security, what we're to eat, what we're to wear. Our whole life is about that relationship, and in heaven, we have it permanently. Today at Pope Benedict's final Angelus address in St. Peter's Square, he used this gospel to speak beautifully about his own kind of spirituality and what God is calling him to now. He spoke of going up the mountain to pray, there to encounter God, but the need to not stay up there and to come back down and share the fruit of our prayer. Pope Benedict, as you know, has decided to renounce the See of Peter to devote his life to prayer in his failing health at the end of his life. He said today to the thousands gathered in St. Peter's Square that he's not, however, abandoning us. He said rather that the Lord has called him up the mountain there to pray, but he will not be absent from us. He comes down the mountain, as he described it, in prayer, to pray for us, to continue to intercede on our behalf. Although he will be living a life, as he says, hidden from the world, he beautifully gave his parting words saying, we are always together in prayer. It is in prayer that perhaps we are most at peace, most calm, most at rest, because in prayer we have a little taste of heaven. I pray that during this season of Lent, we might go up the mountain as Pope Benedict bids us, there to spend that time with Jesus, to ultimately come to recognize a little bit about our home, where our true citizenship is. Our citizenship is in heaven. May we live our life in this world focused on the rest that will indeed come one day when we are forever up on the mountain.